I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Friday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, sickos. This is Shagun.
All right, Shagun, here we go.
Round two.
Yes, sir. All right. Let's go over to Lake Houston now, and let's talk to Mr. John Littleton. Had to skip him last week due to tournament rules, but he's back this week. John, what's up?
Oh, man, not a whole lot, Mickey. Kind of done with those tournaments. Man, we fished our last one last Saturday for the year.
Yeah.
So, it's been a pretty good year. Caught a lot of fish, you know, made a little money, enough to play the game the next week. You know, that's the life of a weekend bass fisherman, you know.
Well, as long as you make enough to support the habit.
There you go. I know it. And it's, you know, it's fun, man. We got a little competition going on, and you know, you can go out there and catch a few fish, and, you know, we got lucky again last week and caught enough to win, so we were, you know, we finished strong. Started in January and won and finished, you know, in October and won. That's great, you know, so. But living the dream.
There you go.
Yeah, I know I've been – you know, went to the deer lease and working on deer stands and, you know, feeders and getting everything throwing and seeing some animals move around, nothing to get, you know, too excited about. But I think we get this little bit of cooler weather coming in this weekend. You know, it'll get them moving around.
Sure.
Get them up. Yeah. We got a couple guys that bow hunt. I don't know if I could even hit a deer with a bow. I've tried it, but
oh yeah,
you know, never been too successful.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah. You know, it's just like with anything. We were. I was talking with a young guy this week. A young guy, he was, you know, 13, 14 years old, a young boy, and we were talking about fishing, and he was, you know, trying to learn how to throw, and I said, man, it's, you know, that's something that's, it's just, you just got to get out there and practice, you know. I said, man, it just takes time. Don't give up. Just,
it's like throwing a baseball, man. The more you do it, the better you're at it, you know.
Well, it's like with pretty much anything you do, you know, shooting a gun, you know, the better shot you are, you know, you just got to get out there and throw some lead around, you know.
But, yeah, price of that these days.
Well, yeah, I took my gun and last weekend and, last Sunday went up to the lease and I hadn't shot it. So I, you know, we got a little target area there we shoot, and I shot one time, and it cut the corner of the bullseye, and I go, well, that's good enough for me.
Wipe her down and put her up and get ready.
Yep. I mean, why keep shooting?
You know, these days with the good scope mounts and the scopes and everything we have, I mean, you really got to beat a gun around and beat it down to knock your scope off. But
yeah,
you got to check. I'd never go into the field with a untried rifle, I can tell you that. Just, you know, you got to take that shot and make sure it's on before you go into the field. That's what you do.
Yeah, it's, you know, even like with fishing, Mickey, I mean, we, you know, check your line, you know, check your knots. I mean,
Throw your old fishing rods in the corner in the garage in the heat and let all your line deteriorate and then pull them out and then go fishing without checking your line.
I mean, no,
and some people do that, never oil their reels, just.
Nope. You got to take care of that stuff and. You know, you get out there and you know, especially if you're fishing a tournament and you hook a good fish and, you know, you get back to the boat ramp. Well, I could have won, but I broke this fish off and, well, you
should have, could have, would have.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, something I realized several years ago that I hadn't really thought about was, you know, you lay your rods on the deck of your boat and it's 100 degrees outside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, even though you're fishing fluorocarbon or mono or whatever you're fishing, that line touches those locks on those rod boxes. And, you know, like, oh, mine, they're, you know, stainless. And that stainless steel gets hot. And that line touches that.
Sure.
And, you know, you don't realize how much that weakens your line. So I'm very careful when I put my rods on the deck of my boat to make sure they're not touching, you know, those locks on my rod boxes for that simple reason. Now, it might not, but it's, to me, it does. And, you know, I just don't take chances by doing that. So, you know, again, you lose that one fish, could have won you the tournament, you know, so, but no, the lake's been pretty good, Mickey. We, you know, it's been a little off color. I was down there Tuesday afternoon, went down to the boat ramp, and we actually brought the wife and the grandkids, and we had lunch there by the bank and watched the water, and you know, it was it's still a little off color, but
well, the water's so hot.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the wind's been picking up here a little bit.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, and it's moving that water around. But I didn't even bring a rod and reel. I knew if I did, I'd fish from the bank there around the, you know, around the walkways and the bulkheads, and you catch fish. There's, you know, but I'd said, heck, we're going to go on a little picnic. So we went down there and, you know, it's all, you know, it's just good to get out to do that. I love it. So, you know, we got to do that. But one of my catfish guys came up and they had some nice catfish, not a limit or anything. They had 14 or 15. I didn't count them. It looked like quite a few, but they were some nice catfish. You know, they were catching on cut shad. So, you know, you can, they throw out those noodles, but then they, you know, they fish with rod and reels while their noodles are doing their thing out there, you know. And, same deal with the catfish, Mickey. They're cutting them and getting those juices flowing and, you know, catching some. He said they were right by the edge of some of that channel. And, you know, even with, like, catfishing, you know, people tell me, well, they go out there, well, we didn't catch anything, or they caught a couple little ones. Well, you got to use your electronics a little bit, you know, go out there and kind of look around, find your channel, find your drops, and, you know, you can catch them. So they had a crappie tournament last weekend also out of BJ's out there. I didn't hear who won or what won, but I think they had about 30 boats out there. So, you know, I know we saw quite a few boats up in the bayou when we were, you know, bass fishing up through there. So
yeah.
There was quite a few, you know, guys up there, you know, catching. We saw one guy, they were catching, but they were throwing them right back. So I guess they were too small. You know, I don't know what their limits were or rules were, you know, in their tournament. But I guess they were just grounding some minnows is what it looked like. We didn't get too close to them, but they were actually on a stump area that I wanted to fish. But, you know, they were there first, so we had to do something else.
See, I wish more people thought like that.
Yeah.
First well, one there wins, man. It's his spot, his fish, and back off, go find something else. And when he's gone, you can come back and fish in his prop wash if you want to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I'm sure they caught, you know, some bass right there because that little spot was, you know, it's one of those that you can usually get up there and throw your little crankbait or hit the top of them stumps or, you know, or you can throw a jig or something down there, and you'll usually catch you a black bass or two, you know, and sometimes it's, you know, a 3 or 4 pounder, you know. But
and that can make a difference.
Yeah, but, you know, hey, he was there. He was dropping his minnows down there, and, you know, I don't know. I call it there. I think they call it like a spider rig. I don't know. It looked like he had 5 or 6 rods out.
Goodness.
You know, I'd stay hung up if I tried to do that.
Well, I'm telling you.
That's an art to it, you know. Those guys do anything like that in salt water, Mickey?
Yeah, well, I remember back in the day there was an older gentleman that he fished out of one of those old big ski barges, like a 25-footer, and he had rod holders all the way down one side of it, and he'd drift fish. And he'd have like 8 or 10 rods out just dragging worms, you know, soft plastic worms behind the boat.
Yeah.
And he'd cut adrift. And that's when those fish used to pile up on that lower reef area down there between the barges and the causeway and all that back in the day. And we called him the wizard. I mean, he'd cut 2 drifts and he'd be through. He'd already be going back to the dock. But he'd drift through those trout, and you see all those rods just bow over, and he'd just reel them in real slow and easy, one at a time, and box his fish, and then he'd head to the dock. Shipley and him called him the wizard.
Yeah, I'd lose half of mine. I've tried that even crappie fishing or catfishing, you know, with 2 rods.
Yeah.
And it never fails. You get you get one bite, and you try to get it, and the other one's going off, and you know, you end up not catching either one. You're better off just one rod at a time. You know, you can pay a little bit more attention to that. I know y'all were talking about watching your corks there a minute ago with Tommy. And, you know, I'm as guilty as anybody. I'll be sitting there trying to watch 3 corks and, you know, they all going off and you end up, you know, losing fish.
Right.
So just reel the others up and throw them in the boat.
Well, I'm old-fashioned. I like catching them one at a time, man.
I do, too. You know?
All right, John. Speaking of time, I got to get out of here.
Oh, man. It's done.
Flew by. It goes by quick, buddy. If somebody wants to call you, John, give them a number, man.
Sure. They can call me on my cell, 281-222-8544.
All right, buddy. John, have a good weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Have a good one.
All right, Mickey. All right. We'll see you.
Later. All right. Well, you know the Belleville Meat Market? You talk about a great place to have all of your wild game processing done, and not to mention their great meat market. They're located right in downtown Belleville. They're a short drive from Sealy on I-10 or Hempstead on 290. Just go downtown, look for the big white sign. Their processing facility and meat market are right next door to one another. And It's that time of year. We're right in the middle of bow season. Rifle season's right around the corner. And I've already got friends dropping off exotics and everything else there, and they still can't talk good enough about the Belleville meat market. They just can't believe the quality and the turnaround. You know, you've got a three-lane drop-off system. Makes it easy to drop off. It's fast and convenient. They track your game all the way through the process, and you just tell them how you want it. 28 great flavors of pecan smoked sausage to choose from, not to mention their award-winning summer sausages. Jerky, dry sticks, pan sausage, you name it, they do it with excellent quality and excellent packaging. Check them out on the web at BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call them 979-865-5782. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 519 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down to Texas City, and let's get hooked up with our good friend, Mr. Dave Fremont. I call him Texas City Dave. Dave, what's up, bud?
Good morning, Captain Mickey.
Good morning to you.
Looks like it's going to be a pretty doggone good morning.
Yeah.
I went by, and first thing I like to do when I hit the top of the dike is I always give a good salute first out of respect as I'm entering entering the territory. And then I check the bait flags. I want to see what in the world is going on in the atmosphere. I want to see that mullet flag and that croaker flag and that live shrimp flag. And by golly, all three of them was up. So That's half the battle right there. So it looks like there's going to be some bait for the folks coming in, and that's important. I wanted to mention first, before I forget, that as I was heading in this morning, the wife scared me. She sent me a message, and because she should have been asleep, but anyway, something pinged on her phone, and there was a concrete spill on the freeway down by Texas City, and then it was the whole freeway closed. So this is important for the folks coming down this way. I don't know how long it's going to be, but it's past the first Texas City exit heading southbound on 45. The main M&F Flowery Expressway where you take the hump and go over, that one's open. But the next one down just a little ways where the Sam's and the Walmart and the Whataburger right. exit is, I think that's 1764. It's closed the whole freeway. They've got concrete that they're having to wash off. They're bringing in the DOT. I don't know how big or bad it is, but it was enough for them to post it on the main pages. So the folks go heading down that way.
Truck turned over, I guess.
I don't know that, or maybe he left his valve open or something. Who knows? But I don't want it on them fancy schmancy boats and big old gigantic trucks and all that stuff and trailers. So, and then as I'm talking to you, somebody's pulling a big old bull red right up off the rocks here. So, you know, the world is alive and well out here on the good old Texas City dike. And I'm thinking, I don't know for sure because I hadn't heard a whole lot of reports, but I think there's a quiet croaker run going on. I see some folks piled. Yeah,
I see. I hadn't heard anything about it.
Yeah, well, you know these folks that like to catch these croaker, and they catch them in if they can in big numbers because you need quite a few, you know, because they're not the biggest fish in the world. But I see them piled up in some spots out here on the end on the backside and such stuff, and they're sitting on buckets and just catching some croaker. So I'm thinking that, and most of these folks probably don't post too much on the internet about it because it can get crowded in a hurry out here. But I think there's a little croaker run that's taking place. So if you're wanting
to get learning. They're learning, man. Yeah. Loose lips, sink ships.
But if you want to get some of that delectable, sweet-tasting meat from those little creatures, all you need is a little dead shrimp and little hooks and chunk it out there. And they fight pretty doggone good, you know, on light tackle, if you want to do it that way. Them little croaker, they'll slap you back. I mean,
my grandmother always told me, she goes, man, if these croakers got his up to 10, 12 pounds, you'd need an offshore rod to reel them in. She goes, she loves catching them big croakers.
I truly believe that. They're tough little rascals until you get them in the frying pan. When you get them in the frying pan, they're excellent table fare. As far as a panfish goes, I don't know if you'd agree or not, Mickey, but I think that, well, we didn't have mangrove snappers years ago. I wouldn't have known what one of those even were before Hurricane Ike very, very much, but they're just delicious. But I'd say the top two in my book are the whiting and the croaker. I think those two are some of the two best eaten.
Good old Atlantic croaker. Nothing like it.
Yeah. But anyway, nice little crowd out here. And as I was heading in, it was 77 degrees, and the wind looked variable out of the south or southeast, I should say, and it was maybe about 5 to 10, something like that. Mm-hmm. Nothing too fancy. A little bit more as I headed out this way, but nothing that would cause a problem. There's a handful of boats is launching on the big ramp out at the end, and good visibility. You can see great out here, and but things, as we know, are going to change. It's going to get a little breezy and a little bit cooler unless the weatherman's telling us another fib.
Yeah, another forecast gone sour on us, but no, I don't think they're gonna miss this one. This fall will be in the air tomorrow and the next few days. A lot of wind though. We're gonna have some pretty good breezes with this for the first couple of days.
Yeah, you know, I think what brings some of that windy weather and stuff is all you got to do is throw a good tournament out there. You put a big tournament out there, that's going to suck that wind down every time.
Hunter Welch is having his Who's Your Flatty Daddy or whatever it's called tournament this weekend.
Oh, I mean to tell you, I went by there yesterday to see him because Boyd's always likes to be a part of it and join in on it. So I went by there and dropped a little something off for him, and we talked about it for a little bit. He was mighty doggone busy, but yeah, the first thing he was saying was, "You think it's going to get, we're going to get blowed all over the place?" I said, "Man, them flounder, they love that. All you got to do is get the fishermen out there." So I know that when it gets really breezy and such, it might take some of your fishing spots that you like away if it's out in the open. But most of the time when you're catching those flounder, you well know you're in a protected area anyway. You're up in the shallows and you're up around the grass. So you can find some shoreline that's opposite of that old wind to howling, and sometimes the hardest part's just getting there and back. But I think
we ought to get a good tide dump with that north wind, and boy, fishing around them drains on protected shorelines might be the ticket. You never know.
Oh yeah, that's what we were talking about. And he said, I asked him, I couldn't remember. I said, well, how long can you sign up on it and all that stuff? But I think you're good till midnight tonight. And he's got a good turnout. And I tell you what, man, the payouts on his tournament has just become ridiculous.
Oh,
it's just unreal.
Great payouts, yeah.
They've got some deals where if you do this and you do that and all that works out right, there's a $25,000 bonus on all kind of stuff. And then even that crazy chicken boy, he threw in one where if you catch, I think they got a blackjack flounder, the closest flounder to 21 inches. If you catch it on one of them goofy chicken boy lures, it's an extra $1,000 there. So, or if it's the winning one, of course. But so anyway, it's exciting. I can't wait. I'm going to swing by there tomorrow and say hi and see what's going on there.
Where's he having his weigh-in at?
You know, it's the same place over there where they have the Fish Sticks Expo. It's over at that Jeff Brooks Park or in Hitchcock on Highway 6. And it's a lot of fun. After they have it, they carry on for a good while. And it's, I think, let's say it's going to turn off pretty. So by Saturday afternoon, it's going to be really, really nice. And so I'm looking forward to it. And he's such a great guy, man. This dude, just good people. That's all I got to say about Hunter Welch. But anyway, we'll see how that goes. But like I say, all you need to do is throw out a tournament and it'll get windy or it'll get rainy. Sure. But who cares? Let's have it. You know, let's do it to it. We ain't got no control.
The fish don't care. It's more adverse for the angler instead of the fish.
Yeah. So. And we got the little old Texas Parks and Wildlife closure on the flounder season as far as bag limit, possession limit for the month of November and half of December. But I'll tell you one thing, based on the tournaments that I've had in the past and just overall goofy fishing, some huge flounder are caught after that second week in December. So don't give up on flounder fishing then, because that's when some of those big mamas will really roll through the channel.
Yes,
so,
sir.
And then in the meantime, like I mentioned a while ago, a fella just horsed in one of them big bull reds and took some pictures and torsed him back. There's still bull reds being caught. It's been a great run out here on the dike and just phenomenal in those open waters where y'all fish and the channel and such. So the bull red population's alive and well, and I think that means them little slot reds ain't far behind, and they're probably in pretty good shape too. But we've had a few sand trout caught, but told you a little while ago, if you want some croaker, I think we're just about on them. So come on out here and catch a few croaker and take them home, fry them up. You'll go, man, that old fat guy's right. Them things taste good.
You got that right. Hey, I'll trade you a box of trout for a handful of croaker. I can tell you that. And Boyd's got plenty of bait. All the flags flying this morning. That's more good news. How about table shrimp and crab and stuff like that for your seafood eaters?
I walked through the store real quick, and I was talking to Martin and tried to get a lowdown on how the bait was going to be for that tournament. I was hoping that we get stocked up real good for them guys to come by and get some bait for Hunter's tournament. But in good shape on table shrimp, man. They got some good-looking ones sitting up there on ice already this morning. They'll be piling out more different sizes, and I think they're really good to go on that. And then the grill next door, they'll be chomping at the bit about 11.
About that grill, man. That's one of my favorites. If I ever go to Boyd's, whenever I do, the Cajun grill is my last stop before I get out of there.
Well, I appreciate that. They'll be heating up the grease and have it going by 11 o'clock and throwing some stuff in there and get that old griddle going and cook up some stuff. So, but yeah, it looks like we'll have a good weekend, Captain. And I certainly hope that you and everybody out there has the same.
We're all going to do it. Everybody be safety first and wear your life jacket and your kill switch. If you're going out in a boat, be safe.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. Tie that PFD around your neck real tight.
Hold it. Put it on. All right. Well, hey, if somebody wants to call Boyd's, give them some info, address, and phone number down there, Dave.
Thank you, Mickey. Boyd's One Stop's on 227 Dyke Road. That's the address. You can't miss us. We're right there on the dyke on the right-hand side when you come over to Hump. And we're boydsonestop.com. We're on Facebook and all that stuff. So if you need anything, give us a holler, 409-945-4001. But better than that, just ride on out here and see us because we're open 24 hours.
You sure are. And if you can't find Boyd's, you're lost. All right, man. Well, Dave, you have a good weekend. Always a pleasure talking to you, buddy. Did I lose him? Well, he's gone. Well, anyway, Dave Fremont, really great guy. They do it right down there. Good bunch of folks. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about one of the hottest soft plastic baits I've chunked in years. That's the MiraLure Little John. What it is, it's a 3 3/4 inch soft plastic twitch bait. It throws like a bullet into the wind or downwind. It doesn't matter. Attach it to a jig head for wading or out of the boat, and the Little John is lethal on speckled trout, redfish, and flounder. And the Little John's injected with a secret fish-catching scent. It has a darting action. It makes it irresistible to game fish, and the Little John is so tough and durable that one bait can last for days. I've caught dozens of trout on one particular bait. The Little John comes in 14 popular fish-catching colors, and all it does is produce results day in and day out. That's the MiraLure Little John. You can look for them wherever tackle is sold. Remember, folks, nothing catches fish like MiraLure. Go to MiraLure.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
My Maria, don't you know?
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Friday morning, 5:36 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down G-Town way. Let's check in with our good friend Captain Steve Hillman, see what old Stevie's doing this morning. Steve, what's up, man?
Good morning, man.
How are you doing?
I'm kind of fired up. I'm just sitting. I was sitting there listening to Dave Fremont. Man, he kind of got me fired up about the croaker run. I'm not joking either. That is the best eaten fish.
It is.
If you've ever eaten Atlantic croaker or whiting, man, you'll throw rocks at trout.
I'm telling you,
those are two of the best eaten fish in this bay. We used to catch so many of those croaker around the floodgate and stuff growing up. On the Moses Lake Gate.
I know. Used to have a heck of a croaker run over there around Dickinson and Moses and all that back in the day. Jeez.
No, we did. I caught a big one last year in Matagorda last March. It was 21 inches.
Oh,
it weighed three and a quarter pounds.
You know, I caught one at Sabine Lake wade fishing one day, and it was a little over 4 pounds. It was like 4-1. I thought I had a red on.
Wow, that might have been a water body record or something.
Nah, I checked. It was five something, yeah. But I put it on the stringer, man. I was proud of that croaker.
Heck yeah.
I ate it too, man.
I netted mine.
You netted
that's
yours?
A good eating fish. I did. Hell yeah, I netted him. I caught him on a purple demon Little John.
How about that? Imagine that, man.
Yeah. And then about 2 years ago, I had a guy with me, Josh Morton, and we were in Moses Lake, and it was in the winter. It was like early winter. It was like early December or something. Mm-hmm. And he caught a 20-inch croaker.
Dang.
And it was a little over 3 pounds. I remember looking up the water body record for Galveston back then. I'd have to look at it, but I think it was like 3¾ pounds or something like that. I don't think it was 4 pounds. But there's a few unicorn croakers swimming around out there, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Still got a few left, but, boy, I remember in the day when there was just herds of big, you know, just we called them bull croaker, man. They were big.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. Growing up, we fished. I'm talking about when I was real little, like fishing with my grandpas, my uncles, and we were meat fishing. I mean, I didn't get into really trout fishing with Dad and them until I was probably 10 or 12 years old. And really didn't get serious about it till I was a teenager. But when I was real little, we would go, like in the winter, we'd go to Todd's Shipyard there in the channel and just load up with sand trout and gulf trout. And we got in on the croaker run every year. We'd go to Half Moon in the spring and catch those big bull whiting and croaker. We caught a lot of, went on a lot of meat hauls. But we were all poor back then. Grew up poor, you know. But
Get too comfortable. It might be coming again.
I know. You're not joking. Good grief. Don't even get me started on that.
We'll all be eating croaker and sand trout, trying to survive, man.
I'm telling you. If I keep canceling trips like I have been,
this has been the year of cancellations.
We had that beautiful stretch of weather, last week. I think last Friday was probably the last day of the really pretty weather. And we had a really good couple of weeks of fishing.
Right.
And then Friday, you could just see it just waning, man. I had Tom Granchy Friday, just him by himself. And I'm thinking, man, it's going to be easy. Got one guy. He only keeps two fish. That's what he keeps. He keeps two fish for him and his wife for dinner. That's all he ever keeps. Every once in a while, we'll gut one and keep a few more. But I'm like, this is going to be easy. We're going to go get on a mess of fish. We're going to hit this school I've been messing with. And then we'll go piddle around in the back legs, try to catch some reds and flounder. It's going to be easy day. Just one guy, right? Nope.
Right.
I think we fished for 7 hours. I think we caught five keepers, kept two, and we caught maybe two or three throwbacks. And that was the first day that I really saw what was going on. And then fast forward to Monday, and it all just came together in a bad way. I really saw exactly what was happening, what I was faced with. And that is, these fish were so full when we got there. Now, Monday we got a real late start. We had, if you remember, we had those storms. We had two big lines of storms that came through Monday morning, and I had Todd Aiken and his customers, and we didn't get out there until almost 10 o'clock that morning. By the time we got the boat in and got out to our first area we're going to fish, it was almost 10. And we saw it. I could see it, man, the slicks. And you get excited, you see all the slicks, you pull up, you get lined up on them based on the wind and current. Of course, there wasn't hardly any current. And so that makes it pretty easy. You know, a small slick, hardly any current, and a little bit of wind, you just get straight up wind. It's not rocket science. I mean, I know how to work a slick. And you're all excited, you get up there, and nothing. Catch one, make like 40 casts, get a bite, make like 50 more casts, get a bite, catch one. I mean, it was just, they were full.
Yeah.
And when you catch them, they're all throwing up and pooping everywhere. And we waited.
They're all
we drifted.
Gorged out, man.
Yeah. And we hit, I don't know, five or six different areas. All the areas I've been catching them. And then some. And we only caught eight keepers on Monday. And we caught half of them wading, half of them drifting. And we lost some fish. We caught a handful of little ones. But it was just so tough to get them going. And three of the areas where I've been catching them, those fish didn't leave. They didn't right. swim out of there. They were still there. They were still burping up slicks. But they were full. And so I kind of tucked my tail between my legs and limped on home and prayed for a better day Tuesday and had all the Cebulski brothers Tuesday. And we just did a repeat of what me and Todd and them did. Same deal. We got an early start, though. I figured that would help us. We had a right. little wind, but it wasn't bad. And slicks galore. And we caught six fish, caught six keepers. And we fished hard. We fished hard to like, shoot, what time did the Astros game start on Tuesday? 1 o'clock?
That was a 1 o'clock game. Yeah, we got in from crabbing, me and Raz and Sammy. And,
yeah.
And I put ice on top of the crabs to stun them out so they wouldn't eat me up while I'm cleaning them. And, man, we got that game going. That was, I really loved that game. Especially the way Altuve just stuck it to him in the bottom of, or the top of the ninth and hit that three-run dinger. I'm going, there you go.
I know, especially after
I love beating Chicago. I almost like beating them as much as the Dodgers.
Oh, I know.
And now we got to play the Dodgers if we make it to the series.
I saw the replay of that controversial strike call this morning where that old boy checked his swing and he called it a strike.
There's been some terrible umpiring, you know.
There really has been.
That game three with us, that's the worst behind-the-plate calls I've ever seen. Then the controversial interference deal with Gurriel's throw to the plate. Yeah. And it didn't matter. We came back and finished them off in style, baby.
Yeah, luckily,
well, I said we'll play the Dodgers if we get the series. They got to get through Atlanta first, but I don't think they'll have a problem.
That's right. Well, I'm looking forward to watching the game tonight. But no, the fishing just went away for me.
This front's a blessing. We needed it.
What is? And look, it's fine. And I canceled Wednesday. I had longtime customer Jeff Sadler. I called him. I said, you know what, dude? I said, it's going to blow like 23 in the morning. I need to stop the bleeding a little bit. I said, each day's gotten worse and worse. So Dad and I went and played golf. But I know exactly what happened, because you look at the stomach contents of these trout and it's just this silver mush. I mean, you might see a little bit of the skeletal remains of a shad, but it's all shad that they're feeding
all
on.
Shad city,
and
man.
If you pay attention to the majors and the minors and the tide changes, Monday we got on some really crappy tides. Like it peaked out at like 5 a.m. where I was.
Right.
In a slow, slow trickle all day long until like the wee hours in the morning. I'm talking like a 14, 15 hour outgoing, less than an inch an hour. And so you couple that with the low pressure and that tide just stayed up. It wasn't really what I consider above normal, but it was stagnant.
Sure.
And there was nothing to move the bait, nothing to trigger a feed. And so if you look back at the tide charts for those days, which I did, because I mean, what do? When we catch them, we want to know why are we catching them. When we don't catch them, we really want to know why that we didn't catch them, especially when we know for a fact we're on fish. So you look back at the tide chart and you know, our fish in this bay, they love to feed on a tide change. And the tide change was in the late afternoon, early evening hours each of those 2 days. So those fish were feeding while everybody was off the water. Nobody got to take advantage of that good bite. And so they were fat and happy the next morning.
Well, they're full all night, laid up, dormant. And then when, you know, they start moving around in the mornings, they start burping and pooping up slicks everywhere and they're full.
That's it. And you're screwed. I mean, there's nothing you can do. You might have been able to put a shrimp or something in front of them, a live shrimp or something, I don't know. But it's so frustrating. But it is what it is. I mean, I understand the reasons why. But when you have guys paying you darn good money to put them on fish, it's very frustrating.
It is. It is very frustrating. It's miserable.
But at least we had some good groups. But same deal. We're throwing mainly a lot of plum, the Purple Demon, and then the Calcasieu Brew, and the Bass Assassin Sea Shad, and then the Slamming Chick. And those have been the three best baits for like 3 weeks now for me. And we're dragging them on the bottom, basically just kind of twitching them. And it was like what you're doing with your crabs, you know, the line just gets tight.
Hey,
line gets tight.
I want to go with y'all doing that. Man. It's just one of those good old boy deals where we just, you know, fishing's bad. So you might as well do something else. Cause we've been wanting to have, you know, a crab boil for the Astros game. So it takes a while to get enough to feed all the crew we got, but hey, it's all good.
Y'all had a real good day.
I got
day
a good pattern
day.
Going on them there. They're on the ledge patterns in about 4 to 6 feet of water. Well, 3.5 to 6, but they're crawling down those ledges.
Ledge pattern. Blue crabs, man.
That's when you know it's over.
That's the last thing I thought you'd ever be talking about on the outdoor show was a blue crab ledge pattern.
Hey, just something we wanted to do, me and Sammy and Raz, so we decided to, we committed to it. Hey, we've been devoted. We've been working hard. So.
No, that's awesome. Y'all had a good day the other day. Would you have 26 of them?
Yeah, well, we nuked them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. We had 4 or 5 of them over 10 inches. They were good ones.
Yeah, those are big, man.
Leg quarters. Hey, chicken wings or necks? Well, necks, you can't hardly find them like we used to do when we were kids, but leg quarters are it, man. Just tie a whole leg quarter on. That's the way to go. And they're cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get like a 10-pound bag for about $5. Old greasy, nasty leg quarters.
And they're cheap right now. Before you know it, chicken necks will be $10.99 a pound, the rate things are going.
You know, about once a month I like to do on my green egg a rack of baby backs.
Yeah.
And Rhonda came over the store the other day. I'm going, there's no baby backs. She goes, I wasn't paying $19 for a rack of ribs.
That's crazy.
They're normally like, $6 or $7. I said, well, I don't blame you. They're not that good. I just like to do them with some beans and stuff, you know, for something different.
Man, I'm getting hungry. All this talk about gumbo and crabs.
Hey, man, I'm about ready to run to Boyd's this morning. That grill don't fire off till 11 o'clock, though. So I'll just have to make do.
Well, I'm off.
I'm in Astros mode right now. It's going to be a sleepless week ahead of me.
I am too, man.
Weird hours.
I had something I had to do today, and it fell through.
Yeah.
And then I tried to drum up a trip, but I didn't really try that hard, to be honest with you, because I heard there's another tournament today. And so Dad and I are going to go play golf this morning, and then I'm going to bacon wrap a bunch of dove and get some
Ooh,
Wagyu
awesome.
Top, the petite sirloins. H-E-B has these Wagyu petite sirloins. I'm going to reverse sear those. Brooke's coming over and some other folks. And
there
we're going to watch the Astros game and maybe have a cold beverage or two. So I'm just going to chill out off tomorrow. So
Well, I'll be popping you during the game, man, if it's going good. Hopefully it will be.
I hope so. I hate that McCullers is out, man. That stinks.
I know. That's but I think we're going to start it off with, Framber Valdez, and then Urquidy will pitch these two home games. So I got faith in them. They've been doing good this year.
Oh, yeah.
As long as them bats stay hot, they got to outscore us to beat us.
That's what I was going to say. If they keep those bats cranked up like they have been, I think we'll be all right.
Here we go. All right, buddy. Well, Steve, I got to run, man. If somebody wants to call you about fishing Galveston this fall and winter, I highly recommend it. Give them out a number, man.
All right, man. 409-256-7937.
All right. Tell old Clifford to hit him straight this morning.
I will. I'll do it.
All right, buddy. Hey, have a good one, Steve. Thank you.
You too, Mickey. Right. Thank you.
Later. All right, that's Captain Steve Hillman, and unfortunately that's all the time we have for today's show, but we'll be back in the morning bright and early at 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.